Ladies and gentlemen, our topic tonight is heroism. My intention asked a lot of questions, and I expect you to supply the answers. One of the things, there are two things that we do a great deal of at this village, and that is we talk a lot, those of us that are on the faculty, and we also, much more often than we ought to, talk to one another instead of the guests at a session like this. So I'm going to give priority to guests tonight and see what we come up with. I've got a quick survey of our group here. I have a buddy who's going to arrive in a little while, and we're going to play a joke on him later on, and I'll weave it into the conversation, okay. And I'll tip you off when it's going to happen. That'll keep you alert. All right, let me give you a little background. About 2 weeks ago, which was the last time I sat in this seat in the evening, I tried to talk to young people in the audience, and particularly the young people in the audience. We communicated rather well with one another when the older people didn't talk, which was most of the time. But I was concerned with the question, why are so many young people coming to me in my college classroom with the openly expressed idea that one value is as good as another one, all values are relative, whatever that means, you know, and what you want to believe is okay and what I want to believe is okay, and that's the whole bag. And I was trying to figure out where they were getting this from. And we didn't have too much success in finding out where it was coming from. Since then, a number of young people have talked to me, usually on a QT, to slip me a little information, and I think I've pretty well got it figured out now where it's coming from. I'm not going to tell you where I think it's coming from because I've got to check out a few things. But at any rate, that same night, there was a young man sitting right where Ernie's sitting, right where you're sitting, drinking your what? Hot cider? Coffee? Yeah. Coffee. All right. He was sitting right there. He looked to me to be about 15 years old, and he was very much interested in what was going on. We happened to have maybe about 35 or 40 high school age young people. We had two groups here with about 35 or 40 young people here, and they were all sitting right around there and very actively taking part in the conversation to the extent that older people let them. And he was sitting right there, and in the course of the discussion, I said, one thing that I've noticed in recent years is that all of a sudden there aren't any heroes anymore. And everybody nodded in agreement. And I said, where have all the heroes gone? Which is the title of our discussion tonight. I said, where have all the heroes gone? Do young people have any heroes? And he held his hand up, and I said, and he said, the Beatles. Well, that kind of slowed me down and made me count how many years old I was, because I would never have thought of the Beatles as heroes. And I just sort of gulped a little bit, and I looked around, and nobody else was offering to say anything, which meant it was sitting in my lap, and I had to handle it. So I looked at him, and I said, now, you know, if we were to rank heroes against one another, how would you rank the Beatles against somebody like, let's say, Napoleon? And he looked at me. I had a strong feeling that he was looking at me rather condescendingly. And he said, yeah, but he's way back there. So this is sort of the background for what we're going to talk about tonight. I'm more intrigued than ever about where the heroes have gone. And I intend to give priority to young people if young people will talk. As a matter of fact, young people usually sit up there, and I wish they'd sit here and the older people would sit up there, because it's easier to keep the older people quiet when they sit up there. But at any rate, young people get first priority, not so young people get second priority, and faculty come in last, if at all, tonight. So at any rate, let me give you a little setting for what I want to know. Normally, in these kind of evenings, what we try to do is to come up with an open-ended topic, you know, that you could talk about until breakfast time, and sometimes do. But tonight I would sort of hope that this would be a closed-end topic. In other words, that this would be a topic that you could help me reach a conclusion about tonight. I think it's a very important topic for our nation right now. We're not very far past the 4th of July. So we're still thinking about our nation, positively, I hope. But I think it's also important for our culture. So I have no fixed ideas on the topic. I'm asking the question, seeking answers. For those of you that were with me for a couple hours this afternoon, I hope I don't add to your frustration, because I tried as much as possible this afternoon not to control people's thoughts or their directions until we got the thing off the ground, and then once it was flying, I could kind of guide it along a little bit. It got kind of exciting along about 4:30 for those of us that were still here. But quite frankly, I intend to ask questions tonight. And I would like this to be a kind of a collective search for an answer to a question, rather than, well, I feel this way about it, you know, and you feel that way about it, and isn't it fun to talk to one another about it? So let's see where we can get on it. I recall that when I was a boy, I think probably the guy that came closest to being a hero for me was Charles A. Lindbergh. I don't know whether that is true of any of the rest of you that are 40 or older. But Charles Lindbergh sort of represented to me not really what I wanted to be when I grew up, because I didn't have the least interest in flying the Atlantic all by myself in a rickety old airplane. But he represented a kind of spirit of adventure, of challenging the unknown, of being a young guy who wasn't anybody, and all of a sudden he was everybody's guy, because he had challenged the unknown and he had licked it. About the same time, I think we kind of had feelings somewhat that way about Admiral Byrd, for many of the same reasons. That's when he was horsing around down in the Antarctica, you know, and stayed down there all by himself for something like 3 months. And other people of that sort. I can recall also that we were kind of stirred when we saw on Armistice Day parade, the parade led by the old World War I veterans. To this day, I cannot understand why they were all bow-legged. I recall the last parade I saw. Yeah, Memorial Day this year, our town did a pretty nice job of a parade for its size, and they were led by a bunch of World War II bull-legged veterans. And to this day, I still don't. I mean, these are guys my age and 5-10 years older, and I don't think I'm bull-legged. Maybe I am. If I am, my wife hasn't told me yet. But at any rate, you know, you could tell as they marched down the street that they had saved the world. You know, and we know they'd saved the world. And we stood there on the sidewalks, and boy, if we could only been in the trenches with them. We had that kind of a feeling. I don't know whether they were heroes or not, but I had certain kind of feelings about them, and I didn't know any of them. But I do recall, and that really dates me, I do recall that there were periods of time when I thought the greatest thing that could happen to a guy would be to be commander of the local American Legion unit. Any of you guys that are veteran, I'm sure smile at that. I don't think any boy has that ambition today, and praise be. But these were the feelings. I can also recall walking to school, and we walked about a mile to school and didn't realize it was that far. And I can recall that I walked past the local bank, and right about Memorial Day week, there would be World War I guns and actual shells and things like that. And that sort of represented, you know, a far-off age to us that had a certain glory about it, especially the guys that flew the planes. Now, I watched my little guy who's 10, and I'm pretty sure he's got his heroes. And I think it's got something to do with aviation, and I know he particularly likes World War I airplanes. Kind of hard to fall in love with a modern jet, isn't it? I think even pilots don't love their planes today. Kind of hard to love a flying kerosene can, which is what modern planes are. But we love the old planes. So there was that kind of area of life. There were people who claimed that Babe Ruth was a national hero, but I think the only people that I ever felt he was a national hero for was the sports writers and the people that manufactured hot dogs and pop. I can recall having some strong feelings about Lou Gehrig upon occasion. But that was about it in sports. But at any rate, there were certain figures there. I can recall a time when we all walked around very carefully because our chaps were chafing us here, you know, as we came in from the range after school. And went out and fought all kinds of battles. And I think there were a lot of people that felt that way about cowboys up till about 4 or 5 years ago when Italy kind of took them over. And today I think most Italian little boys walk around because their shacks are hurting them, and most of the cowboy movies are made in Italy. But up until about 7 or 8 years ago, I think the movie cowboy and then the television cowboy sort of represented certain sorts of things that were vaguely American, that we sort of underneath all believed in. He was certainly very masculine. It was him against nature. He didn't have much schooling, and that didn't seem to be too important. He had an awful lot of courage. He lived very close to nature, and he loved his horse. And I guess what was particularly appealing to us boys was he didn't have much to do with girls. But later on he did, and I guess that was okay, as long as he kissed the horse and not the girl at the end. But these were the sort of things that sort of had the rudiments of heroism as I recall it as a boy, and I don't see anything like this today. And I have kind of mixed feelings right now as I'm about to toss it out to you. One, I feel slightly disoriented and slightly bewildered. Very mildly so. Because I have a sort of a vague feeling that at least a guy needs to have a hero. Now maybe a girl needs to have a guy, and a guy needs to have a hero. Maybe that's the way it works psychologically. Maybe girls need to have heroes too, and I hope you'll clue me in on that, because when I was a young man, the world of young ladies was a deep, dark mystery. As the father of 6 daughters, I must say much of that mystery has evaporated. But none of them are up to the teenage age yet, you know, where they begin to become mysterious, you know, and where their world gets increasingly private, so you'll have to let me in on that. But at any rate, our national heroes sort of stand for something, especially when they're living. And I personally don't know of any living American heroes. I suppose the last one, and to some extent this may depend on your politics, but I suspect the last American hero to die was either Eisenhower or MacArthur. Because these were the last guys I recall that were of sort of extra big proportions. The last British hero was Churchill, beyond a doubt. And when Churchill died, maybe heroism died with him. Maybe we're living in a post-heroic age. Maybe heroism is, you know, was a leftover from the frontier. If that's the case, then we're better off without him. Maybe we're growing up. But if heroism is essential to a culture to serve as one of its moorings, then I suspect we better answer the question, where have all the heroes gone? Now, I've left it sitting kind of wide open, and I've tried to give you a kind of a context. I haven't defined any terms, and I don't intend to define any. And I'm perfectly willing to have somebody say that, boy, I'm a sentimental old fogey, and there are gobs of heroes around, and here are a dozen. So I am waiting to learn, and I will play the role of the question asker. And all I need right now is somebody who's willing to try the water and see whether it's hot, lukewarm, or cold. And I prefer a young one. Let me put, okay, yes, sir.
Am I still young?
You're young.
So I shave.
When you shave, you'll look like a kid.
Well, it seems to me that the heroes that you mentioned were heroes of glorious military adventures that are none now.
Yeah, not Lindbergh, though.
Okay, and then...
I mean, this was, you know, this was Lindbergh frying
pot. That was one kind of the glorious military one. The other kind...
The cowboys?
To different kinds of frontiers that are still acceptable. And now you can't be the first one at the North or South Pole, and you can't be the first one across the Atlantic, you can't live alone in a frontier anymore, because
it's all barbed wire. Let me toss you a question back to that, and I think there are a lot of other people want to ask the same one. Okay, carry on.
Therefore, the heroes that could exist today would have to be in totally separate categories than the kinds that you mentioned.
Oh, the astronauts would
be. He's asking the one I was going to ask you. Why isn't Neil Armstrong everybody's hero? By the way, let me ask, who went along with Neil Armstrong on the first moon landing? I don't recall. Does anybody else?
What?
Collins. No, we don't. All right. Now, notice how we kind of hunted around a little bit for those other names. I think this is symptomatic also. Our astronauts aren't heroes.
I think they are.
John Kennedy. What age group are you talking about?
For how many people do you think John Kennedy is a hero?
Me.
I'm just asking questions.
He's a hero, and not in South America.
And in Germany.
Oh,
has anybody been in Germany within the last year? I haven't been in Germany since 3 years ago, and you ought to be careful where you walked in downtown area that you didn't trip over all the books about the Kennedy brothers. I've never seen so much adulation for people in all my life.
Don't you think he was sort of a world
help and a world hero? We lived in England when we got there, and I got a phone call, and this woman said, "I really don't know you, but you're the only American I know, and I just wanted to tell you." Yeah. Yeah. Now, was it Kennedy, or did Kennedy stand for something? American. Yeah. I asked a German, I like to ask nasty questions, as you no doubt have noticed. I asked a German man that I thought would give me a frank answer in Cologne. I'd say, why do Germans think so much of John Kennedy? Is it because during his administration the Berlin Wall was built?
We'd like to hear Bill.
Did you hear what I just said?
No.
All right, I'll give it to you again. When I was in Germany 3 years ago, noticing all of this, Kennedy, you know, as soon as they knew you were an American, and there weren't many Americans there that summer because things weren't going too well financially here, as soon as they knew that you were an American, they asked you how the Kennedys were getting along. It was a standard question. And it wasn't, you know, you are an American, you are a tourist, I ask standard question. It was they really cared. And they wanted to know what the Kennedys were doing. And the Kennedys had been out of the papers for a long time. And I asked one German man that in Cologne that I felt would probably give me a straight answer. I said, why do you have such strong feelings for the Kennedys? Is it because during John Kennedy's administration the Berlin Wall was built? You know, and he didn't get mad or anything else. And he says, yeah, I know what you mean. But they, these were roughly his words, and he said it in German. They sort of represent to us American friendship and what America can mean for Germans. And he said, when John Kennedy stood in Berlin and said, ich bin ein Berliner, and his accent was pretty good, we forgave him everything that we might have had against America. Any other heroes?
Yeah, I think I'll buy that. I think a hero is an individual standing out amongst the others. That is propped up as the astronaut.
There's a difference between a hero and a legend.
Aye.
I mean, the astronaut, they could have sent monkeys up there on the moon and come back.
But have you ever seen a monkey that hit a good golf shot?
The golf shot can be publicized, but you can make a good golf shot, you've got enough money to back it. But I think Muhammad Ali is quite a hero to the black man. You try to fight him on his ground. He's an individual and he has honor and dexterity and everything.
Well, yeah, but Joe Frazier isn't.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's two of them there. Picture that the somewhat like that. That's the other thing. Kennedy, he had the whole country that he was manipulating in a position of himself as a hero. And he didn't. I'm talking one man. You talk a hero that propped up by a lot of things. It's not him that holds him up.
He insists. Was Franklin Roosevelt a hero? Is he today?
No.
Why not?
Because he thought what he was doing.
You know, there was a time when a lot of Republicans were afraid that Franklin Roosevelt's picture was going to be carved on Mount Rushmore. I don't think anybody even comes close to suggesting it today. There was a little flurry after Jack Kennedy was killed about putting Kennedy's face up there, and it didn't get off the ground. You think Jack Kennedy would be a hero if he hadn't been killed?
No.
You have to be killed to be a hero?
No.
Does this apply to Martin Luther King also?
Same with Che Guevara.
Che Guevara is a name I haven't heard recently. I did a year or two ago, but I haven't heard it recently. I don't know whether that's significant or not.
Underground.
No, he's been very visible among the young people. I haven't visited the underground recently.
I wonder if it says something about it in our development. There are a lot of heroes to black people right now.
Could be. I asked Will about that about a week and a half ago, and he didn't seem too sure of that. Then I mentioned Martin Luther King and a couple other guys, and, you know, I kind of made a face. He and I were all alone chatting with him. And that surprised me a little bit, too.
I thought maybe if you need heroes, you have it.
Yeah.
You just
do we need heroes right now?
Kelly. We're making them a hero. Let's talk about that. It comes right from the top.
Yeah, we were chatting this afternoon in anticipation of tonight. Got
heroes.
Up to this.
We want to make heroes, and President Nixon says, "Kelly, you're doing a good job."
Yeah.
We can make them that way.
Is it working?
Is it working?
Making a hero.
Well, they're still making a lot of money, and he's making himself well known over. You go down south, and he's probably even here with us.
Yeah.
Any people from down the south? Can't.
I think
first hand source.
The reason Callie ever became a hero at all is because he's the underdog and the scapegoat.
Unhero?
Do you think that this is a kind of a reverse psychology operating where a lot of people of certain feelings about the war are feeling that Callie is the scapegoat, and so they want to make him a hero as a compensation for his being the scapegoat?
I don't think it's so much making him a hero as it is it's the American attitude towards the trying to help the underdog, whether they maybe agree with what he did or didn't.
Let me put it this way then, John, follow that thought up. Suppose that Callie now happened to be a lieutenant colonel rather than a lowly lieutenant. What are the odds of making him a hero?
Probably better.
I think worse.
Yeah, I would tend to think worse too. In the military maybe, but not outside. Because people, you know who was the hero of World War I? The Doughboy. Yeah, except the aviator, you know, who every army man hated. Who was the hero of World War II? G.I. Joe. The guy in the mud.
Dwight D. Eisenhower.
Maybe said something about Wainwright and
Patton.
Why don't do we have any
hero?
Yeah, right. He was wherever the action was. Except that he'd always been there before it happened, you know. You got there and the action went on and the sign said Kilroy was here. Kilroy was the smartest guy in the army. He knew when not to be there. Any other heroes?
The Berrigans and a lot of the anti-war people are heroes for large segments of the population.
Large segments?
Yes.
How large?
Yeah.
You hear
the
names all the time.
Yeah.
What age group?
Oh, you know, I
just wonder.
But sorry, I think to specific segments all over the country they are.
Seems to me you have to decide whether you're going to talk about a consensus hero or a hero to a significant group of people, or just to an individual person. And unless you start out at least deciding what kind of hero you're looking for, the questions go around in a circle without...
Well, I'm trying to figure out what makes a hero. So far, with most of the names that I've gotten here, defiance of the government seems to be one of the criteria right now.
And that could be a reason why there's not total consensus heroes, because the people themselves, out of whom the heroes arise, are so divided among themselves that they have their own separate heroes. Where Callie might be a hero to someone, and the Berrigans would be the hero to their enemy.
How many of these people are media heroes?
What kind of media?
Media. Heroes is a result of the media, public media.
And can we have a hero?
Well, see, it's possible today to be an instant celebrity. And I think a carryover from the old days is one of the characteristics of a hero is that he is known. A lot of people know him or know of him. And I think we have a rather easy tendency in the day of instant, you know, instant success to transfer that characteristic.
But that's also been supposedly one of the things that has been the lack of heroes, that we know too much too fast. And there's not no way to build up an aura about a person.
Right.
We just know too much of their mistakes and too much of their real humanity and their real personality. So it's impossible to have a hero in the old sense where it does good things and great things, because we hear of John, you know, his God by his ears.
Yeah. And we see his scar and all that. And in his last couple of years, he talks as though his teeth were loose. I believe he has the teeth with which God gifted him, but he talked as though he had ill-fitting false teeth.
Can I ask one question?
Yeah.
If we live in
You can't.
I mean, everybody becomes his own hero in a way.
And in society?
No, well, you may. It would occur purely by coincidence. And you'd simply have to, you know, talk back and forth about who people admire.
And it's, people say society is getting more fragmented, and communication between different parts of society is breaking down, really. So perhaps each little group would have its little hero. And then if the communication between these isn't too good, and there's so many little separate splinter groups, there'll just be a lot of little heroes, and there won't be one hero who can be a hero to that many people.
I think another thing is increased secularization, because I think the idea of heroic is always something of the divine, and that there's
a certain spiritual overtone.
Because I studied in India,
they still have holy men.
By Jacqueline Kennedy, they couldn't believe how we didn't worship her. Yeah. And we have panel discussions about Jacqueline and Paul Kennedy, and they're still worshiping her. Because she got married when we were over there, and they couldn't understand why this queen would ever marry again. One of their great ladies would never do such a thing.
Well, you notice nobody's mentioned Jacqueline Kennedy as a heroine. I suspect if I'd asked this question 2-3 years ago, she might have been one of the very first ones mentioned.
Yeah, but she showed that she was just a human
being. And then some.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think our newspapers and television tend to deflate any person who would be a hero, because they always seem to be able to find this long list of things that they have done wrong or evils in their life, and so it leaves us with a shattered image.
Yeah, I think this may very well be one of the characteristics of our age. It reminds me a little bit of the early 30s when in the universities, among the historians and the philologists, there was a general debunking going on. And the American historians were all talking about all of the hanky-panky that George Washington engaged in, you know, and this kind of thing. And I recall at that time a guy named Shorey was a leading Greek scholar at the University of Chicago, and he was busy proving that Plato only wrote 3 of the 39 dialogues that are extant. And by the time we got to 1940, he had kind of backed up a bit, and it was up in the 20s that were now proved, and today I think 36 out of 39 passed muster. But this was part of the higher critical movement that was kind of back and forth, and we took a fresh look at everything, and we started shifting values, and a lot of things started, you know, dropped out. This is when Parson Weems got debunked and all these kinds of things. And I suspect that there's somewhat that kind of spirit right now also.
And I think the average person who reads some of these things in the newspaper perhaps doesn't have enough knowledge that isn't biased to realize whether this is all fact or whether it's blown up out of proportion. I can think of one instance. I attended the University of Washington 3 years ago for 10 weeks, and there's 4 minutes to get between classes. And so there is this huge group, 33,000 students, who have to transfer, sometimes clear across campus. Well, while I was there, they pictured in one of the Seattle papers, front page, this mob scene at the university, which was the changing of classes. So here you have these 33,000 people all in one place, and it's a mob scene. But they, and it happens every hour, but they neglected to mention. And so, but the person reading this, who doesn't know this, thinks, oh my goodness, the young people are going to take over the country, and really...
Do the schools teach heroism? Do the elementary schools hold up people, certain people, as heroes? They used to years ago. Do they today?
I don't think so. I think the sort of faith in the psychology and psychologizing people has cut down the heroic stature of them, because you can see a person who's obviously a compulsive neurotic that is that ambitious to get so far, but, you know, be such a great person. And the goal, when people get educated, I think, towards, humanizing rather than divinizing people.
The
elementary
schools are attempting to bring this back.
Are they? Why?
I mean,
can they articulate why?
I'm not real sure. I think perhaps it's because they are a little bit concerned about this lack of national human
events. How are they doing it?
The story, particularly. About many of these people that you have already mentioned, that you just call heroes in the
family. Oh, history study.
Yeah, it's history of a certain, I mean, it's history handled in a certain kind of way. You know, where you glorify the given individual. By the way, nobody's mentioned Martin Luther. I know that's a healthy or an unhealthy sign.
Martin Luther King.
Why
are we digging back into ancient heroes?
I just asked for heroes. If you feel that way about Charlemagne, Paul,
well,
speak up.
Down on Eisenhower, so I thought I wasn't the big.
Oh, I mentioned Ike before.
Oh, you had. Well,
Paul, I prepared an opening speech because you chided me this afternoon for not having given a speech. I delivered a beautiful opening speech, didn't I? Paul wasn't here to listen.
Jesus Christ as a hero to the thinking, you know, everyone else, Jesus Christ, superstar, and also the flood of religious feeling music that's coming out in that season. Do you think that consciously think of it as a hero?
I don't know. I don't know whether any of our superstar virtuosi are here in the wings tonight. They were this afternoon. Anybody want to respond to that? Does Jesus Christ have heroic portions for many young people?
Would hero really...
Well, she's just asking the question whether heroic is an appropriate adjective to describe the attitude that many young people have toward Jesus Christ.
That's another good trip.
Yeah,
that's part of the Jesus movement, the San Francisco area, primarily, you know, it's been... Yeah. Well, they applied to him, like
they
say, he's got the vibe.
All right.
How about the lack of absolute, not everything is relative. There aren't many absolutes.
Well, I suspect if there is this kind of feeling that really life is short and meaningless, it's kind of hard to put a hero together. At the same time, and this may be a little romanticism on my part, but my feeling is that heroes tend to emerge, and they tend to emerge from unexpected sources, and they persist. One of the questions I was going to ask before, you know, after we got a long cataloging of people that are, you know, that are in the running for hero, one of the questions I was going to ask was, how many of these people do you think will be, even be thought about 10 years from now? Because one of the problems that we've had in recent years, especially since television, is that we seem to use up everything very rapidly. We use up language rapidly, we use up ideas rapidly, we use up performers rapidly, you know, we wear things out at a tremendous rate. Say nothing about what we're doing to the land.
I think that a hero to me means a guy with using a lot of honor and integrity and the basis of morals. We're talking about nationalism, politics, and these I can't see them. I mean, they hide behind this, and you can't understand where they talk, and you can't put a label on that guy because you're not there, and you don't see any come up.
In looking at history, yes, there were certain ones that were known because of their position or whatever it would be, but possibly there were a lot of lesser known heroes in segments of
all you got to do is travel and see their village square and see what statues are there.
Right. So that, but and at that point they maybe had the same number, but they weren't widely known. Where again, our communication makes them more widely known. We have so many that we have to direct our attention in so many different ways. So, thank you for having me.
Well, Becky, I don't think so. You know, to be a hero, you have always to have two main characteristics. Hero is a man who is fighting against power of darkness. This is one thing.
Right.
And second, hero is a man who is taking absolutely nothing for himself and giving everything to others. If you show me, for instance, an American president in modern times, who will go out from White House without one penny in his pocket, I will show you a candidate for a hero. And now, why we don't have heroes now? Because we don't know exactly where the main darkness lies. Who is enemy? Everybody knows there is something wrong with society, with civilization, but nobody can say here is exactly. As soon as a concrete power of darkness will emerge, we'll have heroes, we'll have plenty of them. And then, you know, American school teaches young men to look on all sides, to look deep inside. And young men, instead of going straight, say first, what is my deep feeling about that? And one side, it is dark, and another, it is not so dark. So instead of acting, they are just hesitating. And the older generation, instead of go ahead, thinks about money, partly. So how you can find heroes? Hero must be decided, must go ahead, and must give everything from himself. And I have some feeling that in very few years, we'll have such people.
Okay. And you've just got a classical definition of hero and heroism.
That's a good definition of hero. I think possibly what we have to take term on for identity is anti-hero. Somebody who I would suspect, if it weren't for the time, would not be mentioned, for instance, hero, I think, is a rather poor term for him.
Yeah. I know, I want to emphasize a little bit one point Ted made, and that is that heroes are apparent. Heroes emerge only in a time, I'm going to change his language a little bit, that heroes can become apparent only in a time when it is possible to make a distinction between good and bad. Now, I say for several reasons this is a classical definition, because it's the sort of definition that we work with in the writing of stories. And when you write a hero story, you got good guys and bad guys, except we call them protagonists and antagonists. But it's possible to distinguish between good and bad. And I suspect that one of the problems that we've got right now is that this is a bit of a problem. I expect it's doubly a problem because we are sufficiently close enough to World War II that we still feel that we could see a very sharp distinction between good and evil and fought a war because of it. So this may be kind of situation.
And don't you think that sometimes it's just an alarming act that they do, that in one situation someone emerges because he has done a heroic act? And that doesn't mean that he is a hero forever and ever, but in that moment,
okay,
he acted as a hero.
I'm glad you made the distinction between the noun and the adjective there. That we've got to be careful not to confuse heroism with being a hero.
And having a hero in that way is because you can't just have a man for his whole life as your hero. But at this one point, he was a hero. And you've got to respect him for what he did at that time and not expect that everything that he does has to be against him.
Do people ever plan to be heroes?
I think so.
That's going to rule out some of the candidates you mentioned in the report. Okay. Anything else you can tell me about heroes?
That the times are so rapidly changing. Situations change so quickly.
Does this tend to make heroes impossible, or does it say something about the sort of person a hero has to be? One of the things that struck me about Britain, and Nagel's jumped me on this if my impression is wrong, but I was strongly affected by a feeling in Britain that Admiral Nelson is almost a household figure. He's their hero. I was particularly struck by the fact that they seem to have had none or virtually no land or air heroes. Now, Nelson just stands above everybody else in British estimation, and even today he's the hero of Britain. Is that accurate?
I wouldn't say so.
Yes?
I wouldn't say so.
No? What's your impression?
He's not a bully hero.
Not at all?
Well.
The hero, what if you've ever been in Trafalgar Square in London? He's up there. He's the hero of the Battle of Trafalgar. And I died in the result of the battle.
He's
also
a great historic figure, but I don't think he's a hero to people because he doesn't have that much relevance to them actually. He's just a sort of figure in the past.
Doesn't represent rule Britannia, rule the waves.
see, plenty of people might have given up on Logan Heck.
Yeah, they, well, maybe this is close to the part of the post-empire attitude. Are there any heroes among the young people in Britain?
What about the Beatles?
You're going to be thrown.
Well, they split up and now they were arguing about the money, so they're less likely to be heroes.
See, I don't know who is in that category, who is more important, the Beatles or the Burtons.
I think the Mick Jagger is more likely candidate.
No.
So I would say.
No.
The Beatles.
Are we talking in terms of... Oh, I'm sorry. Are we talking in terms of heroes of the hour or of eternal heroes that we all use in the world?
Well, we make them as we go along because, you know, you've got to have change. People get tired of saying those things. We make one today and there's make enough for us, we'll make one out of the wall.
Do we destroy them too?
Of course
we're tired of them.
Once
we
get back.
Don't you think that American people tend to make heroes as need them, or as the situation dictates, we build them up to a point to do something for them, and then we turn around and we use them the way we want to chop them down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I usually identify Great Britain with that description, although I think we do that too, because they sure got rid of Winnie in a hurry when they didn't need him anymore, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. We classify, I think, the hero as somebody who comes along as our savior during our darkest hour and will be sure to admit Roosevelt, he came along during our depression days, FDR, he saved us, he was our hero.
FDR is a very interesting figure. I think we could probably find...
Yeah, he had to come out of the Hoover seat.
When MacArthur came back to the Philippines, we needed him both. I think the private Americans, which you mentioned earlier, they're a savior to a certain group. I would imagine it taking that way. And I imagine Kennedy... We felt at that time that John Kennedy would save us from something. And that's why we
I go along with you up to Jack. And then I'm just going to express my opinion. I said I wasn't going to write you right now. I had a kind of a feeling that, and I don't think you can separate Jack from Jackie. But I think we had a kind of a feeling that all of a sudden we had something going in the White House that we had always sort of dreamed could be.
Right.
You know, and there was youth, and he was handsome, and she was beautiful, you know, and there was intellectual conversation going on, and the arts were blooming, you know, and I had one clever idea after another of things to do, and all of a sudden, us cultural clods were becoming the art mecca of the world and all, and it was done just like that. I think it's part of it, isn't it? And we've never gotten any of it back since.
Well, I think more culture than politics as far as...
Yeah.
Would this be a factor about the twilight of humorous day?
Yeah.
We no longer make monuments to... travel in Europe, you see them all over in Germany, they have a beautiful name for a Denkmal.
Right.
Some little gentleman, some writer or something. And there's a lad, my aunt took me to Milwaukee and went to one of the parks and here's a Denkmal, a shooter, a gate.
Right.
And nowadays they don't make monuments of people. They just get a bunch of junk and weld it together and throw it in some flag or something. And that's supposed to represent it.
Go ahead, build a building. Thank you, Eddie. So sometimes they plant trees, right? Yeah, sometimes they do. Only in Nebraska. Right. let me point out something that's missing. So far, of all the people that have been mentioned, one name has been mentioned in the world of knowledge, and that was Jonas Salk. There's been nobody, no scientists mentioned. There have been no people in the no people in the arts mentioned. No creative people mentioned. No, it's perfectly possible that there aren't any. I'm not trying to beat a drum for the humanities, but I'm just pointing out that nothing like this has been mentioned.
Are these people who are living or dead? Or both?
Either. Well, we talked, I don't know how recently you got here, Mari, but we were talking before about, is Jesus Christ a hero to some people, you know, occupying a hero role rather than a savior role? Outside of the AMA, possibly. Not inside.
What about Andy Warhol and Ingmar Bergman? It seems like the young people think a lot about underground movies and that kind of filmmaking, and seem to hold up those two people.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, Andy Warhol's a problem because other than having a problem, he has a tendency to have people show up in his name to give lectures, and you're never really sure whether you got the real Andy Warhol or not. Which, of course, gives a certain air of mystery to him, which always helps him, you know. But if anything, he probably would fall in the anti-hero class if he's anything. You obviously have not sat through one of his movies.
No, I've just read
some. Oh, they go on interminably.
No. Someone who responds to me is Martin Luther King. He really, I've been reading something really interesting. This English woman wrote a book called The Book of Peace.
Uh-huh.
And she's got excerpts from that from Martin Luther King. What an amazing thing to read Martin Luther King in this white Methodist English maiden lady's book. You know, it was really, and it was good. And I keep running into him all the time, and every time I run into him.
Is Ralph Abernathy a hero to anybody?
Hmm?
Is Ralph Abernathy a hero to anybody? You notice I get a kind of a dead silence. They know whether that is a Ralph who or whether that is a, well, let's see, is he or isn't he?
Yeah, I don't think he's really established himself yet. He's probably.
Is he going to?
I think
he's going to. If you were assassinated, you would become just a doctor.
Is,
no, that's not.
Is Jesse Jackson a hero? Yeah. Some of you don't know Jesse Jackson. Forget that one. You don't.
That already answers that one.
Now let's see. You still haven't satisfied me, but I can't think of the next question I want to ask you.
Doesn't it depend on where you're standing, who your hero is? I mean, if you're in the United States, one person might be a hero. If you're in Africa, say, Albert Schweitzer would be very much a hero. If you're...
Well, Bill,
Pope John, everybody know Pope John? Yeah?
Jack for short.
Do you know who Pope John was? Anybody, any youngsters here that don't know who Pope John was? Rather well known. Is Paul VI a hero to anybody?
No. Where's Paul?
He's a hero. He really is in the Catholic Church too, because I was in the Catholic kind of thing a lot last year. And there's, oh, if only
only John had lived, you know, and from boy, Paul, he's, Paul's just tearing down everything John tried to accomplish. And this was from the young, this was from the college students.
I hope that sigh was recorded for posterity. No, I feel rather sorry for Paul because he
was picked by John as his successor. He was expected to be
Pius the 12th successor. You can imagine where we'd be right now if he had been Pius the 12th successor, because he's was rather much like Pius the 12th. He has, you know, in his old-fashioned way, has tried very hard to be modern. I think we've got to remember that he increased the College of Cardinals to cut down the Italian control. He got some number of non-Italians in the Curia. He forced a lot of guys in their 80s to retire. And permitted a number of things to happen.
And he said quite clearly that the rich nation must help the poor nation.
Travel to countries to attempt to improve relationships. He's attempted to move closer to the Greek Orthodox.
He's South American, and he's South American, and all these poor people come up and kiss his hands and saw their poverty and misery. And he went right back right after that, and he publishes an encyclical against birth control. Mm-hmm. That's the worst thing he ever did. How can he be so blind?
You realize that you were attacking a single man. Marnie, that may be part of the answer. He's surrounded by a bunch of bachelors. What do you expect? Oh, yeah, the young and short memory.
Well, Bill, mm-hmm. This is typical for American society. When you discuss something, you just look on time, maybe 5 years, 10 years. But if you discuss heroes, you have to discuss in terms of 100, 200, 1,000.
Yeah.
Only then you can get to something.
Now, you see, this is the American problem, which I'm sure you appreciate. You know, one of the questions I was going to ask was, do we have anything that would be any counterpart to Roland, Siegfried, King Arthur, Robin Hood, and so on? And I don't know. We haven't got any great epic poems yet. Unless you fall in love with Hiawatha.
Bird Park in Miss America.
Well, right, yeah. But you see, part of that problem there, Tad, is that we just haven't been around long enough to develop authentic, you know, bigger-than-life heroes. But they do form the foundation for our cultural heritage.
It's hard to make heroes in this country because the country is all mixed up. You can go to France and say, France is for the second, and you will have quite a rally. Americans will say, well, you're a Swede, you're a Norwegian, or a Canadian, or a Russian, and hey, you don't talk anymore. I don't like the way you're talking. Because it's diversified in a way that the hero. You've got to change all the time.
What you're suggesting is that we're not homogeneous. And I think this is an important point. You know, we've been becoming increasingly aware of this in recent years as things have been coming unglued, and same thing's been happening in Canada. And I suspect you have to have, you know, what in German we call ein Volk before a folk hero begins to emerge. You know, you have to become a people. And I don't think the Americans are a people.
When you use the term Americans, you know, you can talk from Mexico down to Alaska. And
I'm talking about United, it is equated with United States citizens.
It turns out was American.
Well, there is still time. Remember that King Arthur became big hero in England, I believe, 600 years after he was there.
So, same thing with King Alfred.
I thought you were, I can't remember his name, was the doctor
the
that developed the grain,
Daniel
Grain.
What's his name?
Borlaug.
Borlaug. Say it again.
Borlaug.
Borlaug.
Maybe I can remember.
Okay. Now, I have a suspicion that some of these people that we're identifying as heroes are people that are what I would call head heroes rather than heart heroes. In other words, we say,
here is a guy,
he matches up to this estimation, therefore he is a hero, and we sort of reach at his heroism by means of a logical deduction rather than because we feel this way about him.
I think that guy will measure up to be a hero, though, because he's, from what I've read about him and from what and I've heard him speak a few times, he really seems to have, you know, the welfare of the world at heart, and he's in no personal interest, you know, interest in personal gain. And I may be wrong, but this is what the impression I've got so far.
Okay.
Somebody said heroes had to last a long time. How long did you say? Anyway, how long did any of these people
have to
last? You read about
them,
but how long
was the hero? No, we're not talking about the period of time during which they perform heroic acts. We're talking about how long they are identified in the public mind as heroes.
50 years. Of course, a lot of your heroes are the only individual choice. Howard School of the 20s in the high school. We got Charles Lindbergh. Man, what a figure he was to me. Gertrude Erdely, who was the first one to swim the English Channel. I think that day. All the boys she ever
picked it out.
And in college, I picked out an industrialist. You people from Minneapolis read George Draper Dayton. The fellow who had Dayton's department store, to me, he was a real hero. Not because he became a millionaire, but at Christmas time, he'd lock all the doors and make the thousands of employees shake his hands and he'd wish them a Christ-centered Christmas. And that man was a hero to me. He never advertised on Sunday. All of the salesmen were told to rest in the Lord's day. Did you know that?
No.
The old man, George Draper Dayton. To me, a hero, he wouldn't be a two-bit figure to most people. So there I have a guy who's interested with me. He may have nothing about electricity, John, a woman, and a business.
Yeah, by the way, let me carry on Ernie's point. We're about at the point of no continue. We got some local heroes here. To the small boys. Ernie's a hero to a number of small boys around here. Al is. Hordy is. John is, although he may not have noticed it yet. And brings up another point. I hate to moralize a bit here, but I got to give you something back in return for being so helpful to me tonight. But I think one of the reasons why some young people may not have heroes today is because when they were little kids, their father wasn't a hero to them. And one of the roles that a father has to play is the hero to his kids. you know, not that he does all kinds of swashbuckling and dashing things like that, but he has to, by his very nature and his attitude toward them, create the capacity for hero worship in his children. And if he doesn't, they won't be able to, unless they pick it up by some sheer chance from a neighbor or the patrolman that sees them across the street when they go to school, or the janitor at school, or something like that. I recall, getting back to where I started at the very beginning, another one of my heroes was our janitor at the public school which I attended. His name was Mr. Smith. We all thought that he ran the world. No, we didn't think it. We knew he ran the world, and he and God had charge of it. And he was the only man we knew that was tall enough to reach up and grab that school bell that hung down through three stories of the building into the very center and rang that bell.